Well, welcome. We are so glad that you're here. Grab your Bibles and follow along if you would. We're going to move from Genesis 32 to 2 Corinthians chapter 1. And as you're turning there in your Bible, I want to just say thank you for your generosity. Those that have supported us, you guys are amazing. Thank you so much for your tithes and for your offerings. You guys have not stopped giving. Thank you so much. I want to share a couple of wins with you. And the first is that through all of this, you know, our country has experienced some horrific things. Many people have lost their jobs. There's a huge financial crisis on our world. You know, it is pandemic, and it's, you know, we're fighting several different battles here, but not just with COVID-19, but you're fighting a battle against fear. You're fighting the battle against financial ruin. And during that whole process, you know, this church has continued to stand strong, and that's because of you guys, because of your generosity. I want to let you know we have not laid off a single person. Nobody has missed a paycheck. Thank you so much. Our building, by the way, as you can see, we have primed walls. So look at that. So for those of you that don't know, we are in the middle of a construction project. Things are continuing to progress here. And I'm so grateful for that. You know, we didn't have to lay off a bunch of construction workers just because of this pandemic. And that's only due to your generosity. So thank you for giving. Thank you for supporting us. Thank you for being faithful to God's house with your tithes and with your offerings. And I want to make sure that I tell you once again, if you've adopted us for the week, if you're watching along and this is not your home church, hey, we are so glad that you're joining us. Thank you so much for being a part of this. But I also want to make sure that you understand, if you have a home church and they're not able to get online, make sure that your tithes and offerings do not come to us. Make sure that you're supporting your local church, the place where you get fed, the place that is needing your support right now. And I want to just thank you in advance for doing that. So Genesis 32, we'll start there. For those of you that are tuning in this morning, click like if you would. Leave us a comment. Let us know what you had for communion. We'd love to just get the cool stuff that's coming in. We'd love to know where you're from, where you're watching us at. That's always great to see that. And then also click the share button. We want to make sure that as many people as possible hear the good news of Jesus Christ. And click the share button. That would mean a whole lot to us if you would. You know, I was drawn to just thinking about life after COVID-19. What is life going to look like for the church? What will that return to normal be? And, you know, maybe the question that's on everybody's mind is when will it end? But perhaps the question we should be thinking about is, what if we're walking through all of this and we kind of just miss the point? What about if in our haste, in our longing to return to what is normal, that we kind of miss the point of what God is saying through all this? What if our desire for normal is contrary to what God wants to reveal to us in these trying times? You know, you can learn a lot when you're walking through trying times, and it'd be a shame to waste the things that we've learned. And I get it. You know, we like normal. We like knowing what to expect. Life is easier than when we can see the punches coming. But you know, I don't want us to miss the point. I don't want us to forget the things that we've learned. Life has changed, and if we can be honest with ourselves, maybe for the better, for a lot of things. And I want you to just think about that. In spite of all the negativity and the things that are happening, there's plenty that we could moan about. There's plenty that we could complain about. But when you see the winds that are coming out, perhaps this is more than just a battle over a virus. Perhaps God's teaching us something through this, things that are valuable to us. Because honestly, the things that you learn in a battle are the things that should shape the rest of your life. You know, for those of you that have grandmothers, my wife has a grandmother. We called her Gram. She lived in her late 90s. I mean, it was 97, quite a full life. And one of the things that she was notorious for, and I'll just pull back the curtain on her for a moment. But if you ever went to a restaurant where they served dinner rolls, and you may have your favorite restaurant in mind, but they bring rolls to the table. As soon as the waiter would leave, she would grab those rolls and wrap them in napkins and stuff them in her purse. And she's just this thin, frail little woman, but she would not let any food go to waste because she had lived through a time where food was scarce, and she had lived through those moments where they didn't know where the next meal was coming from, and she never forgot the lessons that going without taught her. And she's like, look, somebody's going to eat this later on. I'll get hungry. I've got a piece of bread. I've got something wrapped in a napkin. And the rest of us were embarrassed. Like, what is this lady doing? She's wrapping up the dinner rolls and putting them in her purse, and her purse is stuffed full of carbs, which is... sounds really awesome right about now. But that's what she would do because tough times had changed her. They had taught her a lesson and things that she didn't want to forget. She wanted to remember the things that had stuck with her, and the times where she had to do without, and it changed really who she was. I believe that our ability to embrace what we've learned keeps us from repeating the mistakes of the past. And if we're going to be honest with ourselves today, there are a lot of habits that just needed to break off. There are some ways that that we've discovered through all of this pandemic that we're really very spoiled. That we have this self-preservation kind of thing that makes us want to take care of our stuff and hoard things for ourselves. That's really what this thing has exposed in a lot of our lives, including my own. I saw a part of my life that I had to be honest with myself and say, I don't like that. I don't like that person. And tough times have a way of bringing those things to the forefront. They show us things that perhaps we don't want to see, but we need to. And I want to make sure that in our haste to get back to normal, that we don't forget what we've learned. You know, there's a powerful story in Genesis 32 about a man named Jacob. And if you've been around church circles a long time, you know the story of Jacob wrestling with an angel. You know the story of Jacob having to hold on to the angel for dear life, and the angel touches his hip. This may be a pre-incarnate version of Christ or however you were determined to look at it, but you've heard that story many times. If you're new to the Bible, you may have never heard this story. It's okay, we'll walk you through it. But we find this in Genesis 32. And just a little background on Jacob. Jacob was a fraternal twin. He had a great brother, and his brother was a man's man. He was hairy. He was a woodsman. He loved to hunt. He was one of those outside guys that was a go-get-em. Jacob was not that guy. Jacob was what you call indoorsy, and he's a mama's boy. I'm looking at you. No, I'm just kidding. He's a mama's boy. But, you know, honestly, Jacob had some character issues from the very beginning. And it's amazing to me how God chooses the one that everyone else would pass over and say, that guy's trouble. And Jacob was selfish. He was a manipulator. He was a liar. He was a cheat. He was all about me. He's just a scam artist. Everything that you read about Jacob before he is introduced to the power of God is a scam. One scam after the next. As a matter of fact, his parents named him Jacob, which is where we get our interpretation of the words to pull your leg, to pull your leg. And he was born that way. He was struggling and trying to find a way to become first before he was even born. The scripture tells us that he was wrestling with his brother inside of the womb constantly. And as they pulled out his older brother first, Jacob had grabbed onto his leg and was trying to pull him just to find a way to get ahead, to scratch, to claw. He's that kind of guy. And today, for those of you that have grown up in the inner city, he's the guy that's on the corner by the drugstore selling his mixtape. You know, he's just one of those guys that, you know, like everything he does is a scam, some get rich quick scheme. He's got a lot of character issues, somebody that you wouldn't pick at all. But this is the kind of person that God sees. And God teaches him something in the battle that changes his life forever. And it's in that story that I feel like God is revealing so much about himself and really about us as we're walking through a global pandemic, the fight that we're in. There's some valuable lessons being taught here. And so we pick this up in verse 22. And I want you to see this. If you've never read this, look at it for the first time. If you've seen it a million times, try to look at it with fresh eyes. And I want you to see what God is showing us today through the power of his word. It says this, that night Jacob got up and took his two wives, his two female servants, and his 11 sons and crossed the ford of the Jabbok River. Now what was happening here is he's having to go back and face his brother after he had cheated his brother out of his birthright. The birthright was a big deal in the Hebrew culture, and it meant that his older brother, just because he was born first, inherits all the good stuff from their father, who by the way, had inherited great stuff from his father, who was Abraham, a very wealthy man. And so to be the firstborn son was a big deal. Jacob ends up scamming his brother out of his birthright, and his brother promised that day, the next time I see you, I'm going to kill you. Well, Jacob takes off in fear. He spends years scamming other people, trying to get ahead, trying to scam his way into some kind of fortune. And he ends up burning all those bridges behind him, and he's finally having to go back and face his brother. And so he's afraid. He doesn't know what to expect. He knows that his brother has a hot temper. He knows his brother feels cheated, and he's afraid of what's going to happen. So he's using anything and everything he can to try to get himself out of the situation, to try to scam one more time. And so what he decides to do is he takes all of his possessions and he sends them on ahead to meet his brother. And he tells his servants, I want you to send all this, these flocks and say, this is a gift from your brother Jacob. And he's coming right behind us. Well, the truth is, Jacob was not right behind them. Jacob was trying very desperately to save his own life. And so his servants returned to Jacob and they told him, hey, your brother's coming and he's bringing 400 warriors with him. It's going to be a slaughter. This is a big deal. Well, Jacob is full of anxiety. He freaks out. He knows that a battle is coming. He's not prepared. All he's got is his wife and his children, and he's trying very hard to appease his brother Esau, and it ain't happening. So what he decides to do is to split up his people, all the tribe that is with him, and he puts half of them to go this way and half of them go the other way. And he says, well, if one gets attacked, then perhaps the other one will be able to survive. But in the process, he separates them from himself because he's like, well, maybe in his haste to attack my family, even my own children, I can preserve myself. And you see this scrappy kind of personality that I would never choose to build a nation around, but yet God chooses him. God has a battle that he's going to walk through in this moment. And so as Jacob finds himself all alone, surrounded by anxiety and fear, his past is coming back to haunt him, God shows up in the form of a wrestling man. And we know that this is really Jesus in the flesh, Jesus in the Old Testament, but he wrestles with him. And we see in this story that Jacob comes to the end of himself, and the lessons that he learns in the battle change him forever. And so let's pick it up here. He sends his family across the Jabbok, and after he had sent them across the stream, he sent over all of his possessions, so Jacob was left alone. And a man shows up and wrestled with him until daybreak. So he wrestles with Jesus all night long. Now, he's afraid of Esau. He might be afraid that it was Esau that was attacking him or one of these 400 men that had found him. But he doesn't realize that it's not just flesh and blood, but it's actually a very spiritual battle that's going on. And I want you to see that today, that sometimes the things that we think we're afraid of and the things that we're battling against are not really the things that you're fighting against. It's a spiritual battle. The Bible says that when the man saw that he could not overpower him, he touched the socket of Jacob's hip so that his hip was wrenched as he wrestled with the man. And then the man said, let me go, for it's daybreak. And by the way, we know that this is the angel of the Lord, that this is possibly the pre-incarnate Jesus, but I've looked at that scripture a bunch of different ways, and I have a hard time theologically with that scripture because it says the man could not overpower Jacob. The capital H, he, could not overpower the lowercase h, he. Now, if you know God the way that I know God, you've been taught your whole life there is nothing that God can't do. He's the all-powerful, almighty, all-knowing, all-wise God. And absolutely, he is. But this scripture doesn't fit with my theology. It says he couldn't overpower him. So he touches him on the hip. He wrenches his hip. And then he says, let me go because the sun's coming up. But look at Jacob. When Jacob sees that this man has just touched him and the hip is knocked out of joint or the hip is broken or whatever happened at this moment brought him a lot of pain, Jacob realizes that, wait, this is not just a man because this guy just touched me and something happened. He says, I will not let you go unless you bless me. And the man asked him, what is your name? Jacob, he said. The man said, your name will no longer be Jacob, but Israel. God supernaturally changes his name and in the process changes his character. He says this, because you have struggled with God and with humans and have overcome. Jacob said, please tell me your name. But he replied, why do you ask my name? It's not about me. This is about you. You're the one that needs to change here. And it says that God blessed him there. The angel, the man that he was wrestling with, blessed him. And so Jacob called the place Peniel, saying, it is because I saw God face to face, yet my life was spared. And the sun rose above him as he passed Peniel, and he was limping because of his hip. There's a reminder of the battle that he had just walked through. And it says this, therefore, to this day, the Israelites do not eat the tendon attached to the socket of the hip, because the socket of Jacob's hip was touched near the tendon. Or in other words, there's a reminder that continues on for generations that we want to teach our children about what happened at that moment. There's some powerful things that happen when we're walking through a battle that we need to not ever forget, that we need to teach our children about the times where we had to walk through the pandemic that we're walking through. God is showing us things, and there are blessings, there are powerful things that we can't forget in our haste to just get back to what is normal. That's my heart. That's what I want to bring to you today, is to remind you to learn big. Right. Don't stop learning.
Yes, that's good.
I want to give you, if you would, five blessings that a battle brings. I want to make sure that you don't miss the point when you're walking through this. You know, I read the story today of a man that dug a 12-foot deep hole until he realized that what was setting off his metal detector was his steel-toe boots. And he keeps digging because he's like, oh, it's so close. There's some kind of precious metal there. And he missed the point. Like, hey, that's not what you think it is. And in all reality, we do that a lot. But the battle that we're walking through is not what you think it is. And I don't want us to miss the point. The first thing that God wants to bless us with when you're walking through a battle is, number one, is an opportunity to change. Once again, God's not going to change you, but He's going to give you an opportunity to respond to what He wants to do. And that's what He's giving us today, an opportunity to change. You see, Jacob was a scammer. He's a hustler. He's a coward. But one moment with God and those things begin to change, because from this moment on, Jacob has the courage to face his past. And instead of running, instead of trying to scam, he faces it. God changes him because of the battle. And it's a blessing to Jacob. There are powerful things that happen in his life because of this battle. And I don't want you to miss the point either. There's powerful things that God is doing. If you just get your eyes off of your social media for a moment and start talking to the Lord, He's teaching. Are you listening? You know, God had blessed Jacob tremendously. Everything that he was doing, God had blessed him, but the blessing didn't change him. And I want you to see this today, that when we won't respond to blessing, God will use the breaking. You know, we've walked through in this past year an economy that was booming. Lots and lots and lots of people made a lot of money for a long time. Did that fill up our churches? Did churches grow? Not really. As a matter of fact, only between 5 and 18% of churches are growing at all. But once this breaking happened, did you know that now it's half of all churches have exploded in growth? We don't respond very well to the blessing. That's something that you need to take that seriously, because God loves to bless His people. But a lot of times we don't respond very well to the blessing, but we will respond to the breaking. And God loves us so much that He refuses to leave us like we are. You know, God touches His hip. And if you've ever been a fan of wrestling, if you've ever watched that stuff on TV, you know, there's one thing when you see a good match, and especially if it's like the Olympic sport, when it's the real deal. If you're watching WWE, you know, you're watching a choreographed sport, and it's wonderful choreography. That's great, but it's not necessarily real wrestling. But think about this. You know, Jacob's wrestling, and this man, the angel of the Lord, reaches down and touches his hip. I mean, that automatically should be like a yellow flag. You know, personal foul, unnecessary roughness. You know, it's totally uncalled for. 10 yards, first down. That should not have happened. But here's God trying to get his attention. That's not fighting fair. But, you know, in the Hebrew language, when it says he could not overpower him, it uses the word yalkole, which means to take authority over. And it helped me to see something that I've never seen before. It showed me this, that the only battle that God will not intentionally win is the battle for authority over your life. Wow. You know, this is something that God will not force Himself to be your Lord and Savior. That's right. He doesn't make you worship Him. Right. But He will use every outside circumstance available to get you to see that He wants to be the Lord of your life. And we see this incredible man named Jacob, as he's having this moment where he has to come to the end of himself before change ever takes place. You know, we see the same thing happen even with Jesus. You know, Jesus, as he's about to go to the cross, has this moment where he says, God, if it's possible, let this cup pass from me. I don't want to do this. But then he has this moment of submission where he says, nevertheless, not my will, yours be done. I submit my will. You know, there's something powerful that happens in our lives that we can't miss the point where we're walking through a breaking. When you're walking through a battle, there's a blessing there if you're willing to understand that God wants to take authority over your life. And it's a good thing. Yes. It's a powerful thing. Yes. The second blessing that a battle brings is this. It brings a new revelation of who God is. You see, Jacob to this point, had had several encounters with God where we know the story in Genesis where it says he saw Jacob's ladder, where is what we call it, where he sees angels descending and ascending. He has a powerful worship moment where God reveals himself and God is speaking to him, but none of that changes who he is until he comes to the end of himself, until he has a revelation of who God really is. You know, God reaches over and touches his hip and suddenly he realizes, wait, this is not no ordinary man. No ordinary man can do that. He realizes how powerful, how strong God is. Until this point, you see it just a stubborn scammer, a lot like us, selfish, stubborn, set in our ways. We're going to worship God when we want to worship God. We're going to do whatever is comfortable to us. But when you have a battle that's going on, your walk with God becomes completely different. And you have a new revelation of who he is, especially, by the way, when he's all you got. You know, there's this revelation of God's strength that Jacob has, and it changes him forever. I remember when I was little, my brother and I used to wrestle with my dad. And my dad would put on these huge shows. And remember, for those of you that know my background, we were raised in a house with no television. We were very poor, but also raised Pentecostal and a holiness movement. So there was no such thing as television or any outside media. And so we had no idea really what wrestling was. But my dad would put on crazy outfits and he'd grab stuff and put it around his head. And he would come out and he'd, you know, make this into this huge show. And we would just go nuts, me and my little brother, you know. And we're 6 and 7, 8 years old and just wrestling with dad, you know. And I remember there's points where he would let us win. And we thought we were so big and so strong and we're so powerful because we finally took down this huge giant that was my dad. And there's one special story, and this is absolutely true, but we get my dad and he's laying on the ground and we're pinning him. You know, he's telling us, you got to pin me for 3 seconds. And my brother was laying on top of him and he was 1, 2, and my dad would pull his shoulder up. And we were getting so worked up and hyped up that we kind of got just kind of lost and carried away in the moment. And I grabbed a basketball, and as my dad was wrestling my brother, I bounced this basketball off of my dad's face with all the strength that I had. This happened, and my dad's nose like immediately exploded. Blood's going everywhere. He's like, what are you doing? Like, I don't know. I don't know. But I got carried away in the moment. I just throw this basketball, and, you know, my dad gets up. The match is over. Match is over. I'm starting. So he's trying to stop his bleeding. And, you know, I look at my brother. I'm like, oh, we finally took down this giant. He's not that strong, right? I found his weakness. And it wasn't until a couple of weeks later that I did something wrong. I had smarted off to my mom or something happened. I remember my dad walking in the room and I had this idea in my mind that I was stronger than him. But my dad comes in and here's my smart mouth, which was pretty typical and quite often. And don't laugh at that. And he grabs me by my arm, lifts me up off the ground and pulls me to my room to paint my back porch red and to let me know that you're not going to disrespect mom. And I realized in that moment that the strength that I thought my dad had and the strength that I thought I had were completely different than this picture I'd painted in my mind. And until Jacob has this moment with God, nothing has really changed. But he has a new revelation of just how powerful his God is. You know, you serve a powerful God that wants you to remember the lessons that he's trying to teach us. I think he's screaming at us through all this. Don't forget the lessons, the things that you're learning. You have a new revelation of who God is. You know, the third thing I want to share with you, the blessings that a battle brings, is you have a new revelation of who you are. You know, walking through a battle will change you. You'll never be the same. You'll look at life differently when you've actually come through stuff. Your faith is different because it's not just for show anymore. Your walk with God is completely, everything's changed. And you know, the things that you find out about yourself during times of crisis are sometimes not things that you're very proud of. You realize maybe your discipline wasn't what you thought it was. Maybe your faith in God wasn't what you thought it was. Maybe your hope isn't where it should be. And we've seen a lot of that. Our hope was in our savings, or our hope was in the stock market. Our hope was in our presidential candidate, or your hope was in this, or your hope was in that. And those things have been shaken. If your hope's not in Christ, it's just in the wrong place. Yes. But when you have a new revelation of who you are, I think it's important to take note of that and to get honest with yourself and say, man, I don't like the things that have come out in me in a time of crisis. Perhaps this is not who I really want to be. Mm-hmm. I was thinking of it this way. You know, there is who I think I am, And then there's who God says I am. And a lot of times in a crisis, I'll have a tendency to be self-deprecating or to have a defeatist mindset, or it doesn't matter, nothing's working, get down on myself. Or maybe you go the other way. This is all dependent upon me, and I'm the only one that can get myself through, my family through this. And somewhere in there maybe is a healthy balance, because there's who you think you are, and then there's who God says you are. And getting in touch with that, with the revelation of who God says that I am, is the truth. I wrote it down this way, that God uses devastation to reveal destiny. And until this moment, Jacob had never been devastated like he had been devastated here. He had to come to the end of himself before he realized that who he was called to be was somebody completely different. And God doesn't just change his name, but God changes his DNA. God says, no longer are you going to be the leg puller. No longer are you going to be the cheat, the swindler, the scam artist. I'm changing your DNA. He changes his name to Israel, meaning the one who contends with God. He said, you're a fighter, not just someone that's a scam artist. You're a warrior. No, God wants to do the same thing for us. God wants to reveal something about you that perhaps you've been in denial, or perhaps you've just forgotten who you are. But a battle gives us the blessing of who we really are. It exposes some things. And I don't want you to ignore those. Those are powerful moments that you don't get a lot in your lifetime. Here's the fourth thing I want to share with you, the fourth blessing that a battle brings, and that's a new walk. You know, from this moment on, Jacob would never walk the same again. And I think it's important that in our haste to get back to what's normal, that you understand that your walk needs to change. You know, every test creates a testimony. And for some of us that have been following Christ for a long time, this is a perfect opportunity for you to share what you're learning, what God has been showing you, to share your church, to share your testimony, to share how you're getting along through this, and to use your social media influence to share Christ with your friends. Every test brings a testimony. People need your story. There's power in your story. And people can argue with a lot of things. They can argue with your theology. They can argue with you about facts. They can argue with you about your political process. They can argue with you about a lot of things, but no one can argue with you about your story because they weren't there. Your story is your story. And I think the church has lost the power, or they've lost the willingness to share what God has done in their life, the painful moments that bring about fantastic testimonies. You know, I learned this when I was playing football, that ladies love a good pain story. They do. And those Monday mornings at school after a Friday night late game where we would just get smoked, just get beat up. We're coming in limping. And I remember all the attention that it would bring when all of our football players would come in, you know, with a cast on, or they come in with a leg brace. Like, oh, what happened? I'm like, I need to get injured because look at all the attention that these people bring. And so I remember one time coming back, I'd been returning kicks in a game, and I have no idea why that they would ever put me in that position, but I remember just catching a punt one time, and I'm afraid of all these guys coming at me, but I catch the punt, and instead of catching it with my hands, I kind of absorb it into my body, and the end of the football hits me right in the forearm, which shouldn't be that big of a deal, but this thing just bruised up. I mean, I look like Popeye. This whole forearm just was huge, and it turned purple, and I'm like, I am wearing short sleeve shirts to school tomorrow because I want to make sure that every lady in the school sees my big bruise so I can share with them my story. You know, and everybody loves a painful story until it's their pain. You know, everybody loves to hear the stories of people that have triumphed, or people that have gone through a battle, that they have walked through a storm. We love hearing those stories. They inspire us. But it's different when it's you having to tell the story. I want you to know that there's value in your story. It's important that we not forget how powerful our testimony is. You're walking through some stuff today, and this test creates a testimony. My question to you is, are you sharing it? Have you gone silent as the church? This is not the time to be quiet. This is the time where there are very few competing voices. The market is wide open for you to share your story. I want to encourage you. I want to challenge you. I want to dare you to share your story. Let people know what God's done inside of you. Let people know how He's changed your heart and how He pulled you close. Let them know about the battles that you've walked through and the scars that you bear, the reason why you're limping. Let people know, this is where God changed me. You know, the Bible tells us that you overcome by the blood of the Lamb and the word of your testimony. What Jesus did and what you did with it. When's the last time you shared your story? When's the last time that you used what God brought you through to lead somebody to Jesus? I was drawn to this scripture in 1 Corinthians chapter 1 in verse 3. And I want you to notice how many times a certain word pops up. This word is over and over and used in abundance in this chapter. And I want you to see this. Paul says in verse 3, "Praise be to the God and the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of compassion and the God of all comfort." Say that word with me, comfort. Comfort. He says this, "He's the God of all comfort who comforts us in all our troubles, so that we can comfort those in any trouble with the comfort that we ourselves receive from God." He's saying God wants to comfort you in your trouble. And there's a reason why he wants to comfort you, so that you can comfort others that are walking through the same trouble. There's a reason why God is bringing you through this. And it's not just to bring you through. It's to bring others through with you. We need your story. You know, I was drawn to that word, and how many times that the Apostle Paul uses that word. He's the God of all comfort. He wants to comfort you. He wants you to comfort others. And the word there in the Greek is parakaleo. And it's where we get our word encouragement. Your Bible may say he's the God of all encouragement. But in all honesty, that word is a kind of a compound word, para, which means close, and kaleo, which means to call. Or in other words, to call close, to bring close. And he's saying he's the God of all closeness, so that when you're walking through a troubling situation, God is saying, get close to me. Get close. Get in here. Hold on to me. And I need you to see that through Scripture, that God himself is calling out to his people and saying, hey, you're walking through some troubling times. Get close to me. And he's saying, I want you to tell people, get close to you, because you got close to me. This is what your story is for, to call people to come closer, to get them to take a faith step towards God. There's a reason why God is bringing you through trials, and it's not just to bring you through them, but it's to get you to call others to come closer to God. This is the lesson that God is teaching you, and it's a blessing. God has blessed you to be a blessing to other people. He's calling us close. There's a new revelation of who God is. There's a new revelation of who you are. There's powerful lessons that God is teaching his people during this. And the last is simply this. God gives us a blessing on the other side of perseverance. And you need to know that, because it's really easy to quit. It's really easy to give up. But his word tells us that, hey, there's a blessing if you don't lose heart. I'm so proud of you for not quitting. You're here. You made it another week. You're still going. You're still fighting. You're still in the game. You're still in the fight. Don't quit now, because there is a blessing that is coming right on the other side of perseverance. You know, when Jacob met Esau, God did a dramatic work, and God blessed his relationship with Esau. God mended those fences and made a powerful brotherhood work together again. God mended the relationships with his parents. God mended the relationships with his in-laws. He mended the relationships that was happening between him and his wives and his children. God did a powerful work there. Because Jacob remembered what he learned in the battle, and he received the blessing that that angel gave him that night. You know, until this point, Jacob had been consumed with material things, but God gave him what he really needed. And for many of us, you're praying for jobs to just come back. You're praying for money to just come back. But is that what you really need? God wants to give you what you really need. And there's a blessing waiting on the other side of your perseverance. You know, the wonderful thing that I think God's word is screaming at us today, and if you don't hear anything else that I say, please hear this. God never wastes pain. There's purpose in it. Don't miss the point. You know, the fight that we're in today can produce amazing things, because when this is over, and by the way, it will end, we're closer to the end than we have ever been. When this all ends, when it's all over, what will you have learned? I want you to learn big. That's the point. Learn. Get close to God. Have a new revelation of who he is and who you are. Don't be afraid of your scars. Don't be afraid of your limp. Don't be afraid of what God has walked you through. There's a reason we're in this. Don't miss the point. I want to pray as we're ending today, for every single one of you that is persevering, that's still walking. I want to pray that you would not grow weary, that you wouldn't lose heart, that you would stand strong, that you would love well, that you would keep fighting, that you wouldn't give up. So right where you are, would you just take a moment? Would you bow your head with me? If you're driving on the road, that's okay. Please don't close your eyes. You can still pray with eyes open. You may not have never known that, but it's okay. What I like to do when someone's praying for me, I like to just open up my hands and maybe just put them on my knees as if I was receiving something that somebody was handing me. And I want to invite you to do the same. You may have never done that before, but I want to pray for you, and I want to invite you to just open up your hands to God. Let me pray for you. Father, I know that we have a lot of people that are watching this right now that are struggling. They're fighting. They're in a battle. So, Father, my prayer is not necessarily that you would take all this away. My prayer is that we would learn something through it, that we would not waste any opportunity to learn whatever it is that you want us to learn, that we wouldn't miss the point of this, that we would be able to see the valuable life lessons and the blessings that are coming through even in trials and heartache. Let us never forget what we're learning. Yes. Let me learn big. Mm-hmm. And let me be able to teach others and show them what you've done for me, what you've done for my family, how you've kept us, how you've watched over us, how we've been able to make ends meet, how we've come through this, maybe a little beat up, maybe a little scarred, but we're still here. Yes. We're still fighting, and we're not giving up. You're the God of all comfort. And I pray that right now, Lord, that you would comfort them, that you would call them close. And just like Jacob, when all we can do is stand and hang on, I pray that they would hang on, that they would hold on to Jesus. In Jesus' name. Amen. My friend, I am so glad that you grabbed onto this video. Would you do me a favor and like and comment and share? And for those of you, by the way, who have never had a relationship with Jesus, I want you to know that this next part is just for you. If you've never asked Jesus to be the Lord and Savior of your life, my friend, today is your day. And there's no better time than right now. We're not promised tomorrow. We don't know what's going to be waiting for us around the corner, but I do know this. The Bible says today is the day of salvation. And maybe you've never asked God to come into your heart before. I want to show you how. You know, somebody loved me enough one time to show me how to do that. It changed my life. My life was a mess. My story was a mess. But I want you to know I'm standing here today, a little scarred with a limp because I've had to walk through a lot of pain. But it's not been without purpose. God changed my life. He changed my heart. He changed me from a scam artist, a manipulator, a selfish liar and a cheater into a pastor. Who would have thought? You know, if God chose me, He's choosing you. I want to pray for you, and I want to invite you to pray along with me. I'll tell you what to say. Right where you are, pray this with me. Say, Jesus, I believe you're the Son of God. I believe you came and died but rose from the grave so that I could have life and forgiveness for all of my sins. I ask you to forgive me. I ask you to come live inside my heart. Be the Lord of my life. I give my life to you right now in Jesus' name. Amen. My friend, if you just prayed that prayer, I am so incredibly proud of you. We're hearing from all over the world of people that have received Christ during this time. And if that's you and you want to join in with them, I would love to hear your story. Would you let me know that something just happened inside of your heart? And the easiest way to do that is text the words, I prayed, I-P-R-A-Y-E-D, all one word, to 94090. If you'd be so kind to text me and let me know that you prayed that prayer, that would mean so much to me. I'm so proud of you and the decision that you just made. Reach out to us and let us help you in your walk with God. You know, that's not the end of your walk with God. It's just the beginning. And it's going to be a beautiful ride. Thank you so much for sharing. I want you to know that I love you from the bottom of my heart. I'm so proud of you for not giving up. And I cannot wait until we see each other again. God bless you. And I hope you have a wonderful, blessed week. Thank you.
That is a good message.
Thank you. Oh, sorry. My bad. Ooh, it's smoking.